Amen. Turn with me in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 11. Kevin's back from the dead, nearly so. It would have been two Sundays ago, Kevin shared, if you didn't hear that message, it should be on the podcast. Did we get that on the podcast, Summer? Kevin's message, and then Gary's as well. So that was just phenomenal. I'm still just like, every time I think of how that flowed for you, Kevin, I'm like, ching, it was so good. It was really powerful. It was really good. And then Gary Koppelman spoke last week, and again, both Kevin, here's what I really want to celebrate in their messages. Kevin came, was very, very transparent and vulnerable in what he was sharing, that message was coming out of, and it just opened things up. And then Gary Koppelman coming with this transparency, speaking out loud the weaknesses, the three handicaps that he has, that I wasn't even realize. I was not aware of that. Just vaguely a little, but not to the level that it was. things that he had overcome to become, you know, come into the fruit of who he is now. These four honors that he received as a teacher, and how good he was. So those were great messages. So I just want to encourage you. If you've turned with me in Isaiah 11:2, we can begin by reading this. I'm going to read down through, I think, verse 5 is where I'll stop today. There shall come forth a root from the stem of Jesse, a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch that shall grow out of his roots. So I'll pause there. Sometimes I don't know whether to just read the whole thing and then or come back, but I'll just pause there. this is a word about Jesus. And uniquely, you know, we have plants, and a plant, you know, some plants grow from a shoot, like they grow from a root, and the shoot comes out. And maybe you replant a bulb, like I love to grow elephant ears. And if I'm on my game, I get those dug up by the end of the year so they don't freeze, take them to the basement, dry them, make sure it's dry, keep it in the dark. And then in the spring, if I get on my game, I will get it planted so that it gets a head start. And it'll come back to life. And out of that dead-looking bulb, I have one right now. I had the most beautiful elephant ear. I think Summer gave it to me because she's like, I bought this, but I don't know where to go. Yeah, I got that one for you. I'm like, yeah, sure, you know. And so I planted it right out there. It was just gorgeous. It was just so pretty. And so I enjoyed it all year looking at it. And so I have captured that. It's this. It fills a five-gallon bucket. That's how big the bulb and root is, because it's a giant. It's a big one, big. And so I'll plant that, and it'll begin to shoot, sprout out of that. Here's what's interesting about who Jesus is. He's both the shoot that came out of Jesse, out of David. He's also the root that David came out of. He's both the shoot and the root. Only Jesus. But he was from the beginning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and Word was God. Then he became flesh and dwelt among us, so, and came through the lineage of David. So he's just amazing from day one. Jesus is he's out of and before. Like, how do you do that? But that's Jesus. So he comes, and this description begins. The one commentator I like, Moiter, explains it as the sevenfold elaboration of the Spirit. The sevenfold elaboration of the Spirit. And it begins here in verse 2. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. So right out of the gate, number one, the divine person, the person is uniquely one, like the person on him, the divine person. Number two, the spirit of wisdom, and then the spirit of understanding. So there's a double there, it's two. Spirit of wisdom, spirit of understanding, the spirit of counsel and might. There's two more. Spirit of knowledge, that's one. And the last is, and the fear of the Lord. His delight is in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his loins, and faithfulness the belt of his waist. So this picture, this description is, we need to get it off the page so that we relate to it. So that's what we have to do here. If we just read this and we read it about Jesus, that's all good. He was all this, this happened. But we need to get this off the page and get it onto our heart, to get it onto us. And so I want to talk today about the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the effect the Holy Spirit has on us. I spent a lot of years as a young believer. I accepted Jesus when I was very young, I think 12 years old. That was a very real, I was really impacted by that. I as a 12-year-old, wept, you know, like for an entire day. I was really impacted by just saying yes to Jesus. My understanding was like at very low level, because how, what couldn't you understand as a 12-year-old? I was forgiving, given for swearing out in the woods. I mean, I was a bad kid. I would go out in the woods and at the top of my lungs say a cuss word. So bad. And there were other things, you know, that I did to my brother were probably in there somewhere too. So you have to torment your younger brother, right? It's only natural. But I felt at 12 years old, I felt the cleanness come. I was aware of, I was aware of something happening in my heart. I had no language for it. But it impacted me emotionally. Got and was able to get baptized that same day in Canton, Ohio, at some church we drove because they had a baptistry, because our little church in Robertsville, Ohio, that was a temporary place that church went on back to Canton to grow and build. And so I got baptized, had an awesome day, like I was really transformed. But I spent those years then, a long period of time, until I was a young adult, without knowing the Holy Spirit. Now, it wasn't that I wasn't aware and believe in the Spirit, but I didn't believe I didn't have a grid for being baptized in that Spirit. So I began a pursuit. I mean, it took everything in me because I was against it. So that's a long journey from being against something to being okay with something, to asking for something that you didn't believe in the first place, then kind of like didn't know what it was, and then you finally ask and begin to seek. And I had to spend some time in that seeking period of my life. That was not easy, and then I'm like, okay, I'm here, then I ask. But there's such a thing built up in you when you have built up walls against something that everything about it, these are strongholds in your mind. They'll sit in your mind and bat down any truth that comes. Like they can be very powerful, not unconquerable, but they can mess with you till you press through, until the Lord sets you free from them. So began a pursuit, and I got baptized in the Spirit. It wasn't a huge phenomenal event when I did. It was in a little church. Well, I was actually in that building going into Minerva with the blue roof, the Yankee Barn style building. It was called the Open Door Tabernacle at the time. It's a different church now. And it was there at the altar with a very small amount of people. and that we went to that church for a while, and I, by faith, received this baptism, and I began to get my prayer language. And so that was also odd. So I would wait till I was totally away from everybody. Like, we farmed at the time. So out in the silo, and this is after I'd been to the Baptist college for a few years. So you can imagine how well ingrained I was with this is all wrong. So the fight was on. So once I received it, like then to do it in faith and to begin to just let go and let my prayer language flow, I had to get in a secret place. There was always a lot of secret places when you're out taking care of cows, and get in a big 60-foot silo and, you know, in there shoveling silage out, and I would, you know, I wouldn't go for it. But once I did that, something shifted inside of me. I knew, like, all of a sudden there was... It wasn't complete at the time, as my wife and in-laws, sister-in-laws, brothers, you know, they all kind of, it's like, you had a long journey to go, Rick. But anyways, it was the beginning of me beginning to understand love. Like, there was a difference in me from receiving that. And so as I released that, things would start to happen. Someone would come to my mind as I'm praying in the Spirit. And in an hour or less or whatever, I would see, like I began to perceive things that were coming and things that were happening. If something was on my heart and I prayed for it, there would be some significant encounter with that person, with that situation. So it was like verification to me. This is real, because I needed the verification because I was struggling with it, but I kept pursuing it. So I began a slow transformation, and eventually I went into singing some scripture songs. That was like really radical. And my guitar, I'd gotten shut down from playing a guitar at church. Like, you're allowed to go like this, but no beats, no rhythms. Like, just rum, they bound the hands of Jesus, rum, in the garden where he prayed, rum, you know, like that. So that was radical. My pastor just barely let me do that once. Okay, so that was the end of the guitar. We need this baptism of the Spirit. And then the disciples were often, not just once, filled with the Holy Spirit. When we talk about our experiences in the Lord, what we've come to, what we value is, I want to see the fruit. If no fruit, no real tree. You don't get to call yourself an apple tree if there's no apples. You don't get to call yourself an orange tree if there's no oranges. You can say, I'm an orange tree. Where's the fruit? Oh, no, I've never had any oranges. I've never grown any oranges, but I'm an orange tree. So it's more than just calling yourself that. And it's interesting, as I've contemplated what water baptism is, so unique. In many religions, there's always there's a garment you wear, there's a way you cut your hair, there's a dot you put on your head. There's some outward thing that identifies you as that kind of religious person, follower, right? Baptism, how unique that Jesus picked this, baptism goes away pretty quickly. You can get baptized this afternoon down at the lake in Summitville. I don't know if there's ice on it or not. There might be, but yeah, we've broke ice before to do baptisms. And a little bit after that event, you dry off, change your clothes, whatever, and I'll see you a little later. And there you go. I might say, did you get baptized today? Oh, yeah, I did. It's like, it's gone. It dries off. I went... Finally impacted me once. It was actually when I did Brad Salisbury's baptism up at the men's retreat, when I went, oh, wow, this thing dries off. Lord, why did you pick something, this one, you know, command to do this, to get baptized, and it's something that doesn't, there's no manifestation. You get cleaned up, dried off, and no one can tell. You can't tell by looking at them outwardly, whether they've been baptized or not, right? It leaves no mark, hopefully. It leaves no mark. Why'd you pick that? Because The mark needs to be a changed heart. Now, how often have you met a believer, you know, and you start dabbling with, you know, you're watching them and you're in a conversation, and pretty soon you go, you Christian, you know, somehow it comes out. I knew you were a Christian. I could tell, you know, I could feel, I could see, I perceived you were a believer. What was that? Was it anything that had on? Was there something there you perceived? And that is what it's to be. Then the fruit needs to be there. And the same with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Just because you say you've had an encounter, or just because it was one, there's more. There's a continually more. But I want to invite you to seek and pursue this baptism, and not a, like, oh yeah, I've been baptized in the Holy Spirit. Don't stop. Don't ever stop. And that's where we go wrong. We go, yeah, been there, done that. Like, that is the most religious spirit you can have on you. It's, oh yeah, I've heard this before. Don't do that. That's like, that is the first step to, you know, to losing it and not losing your edge and losing your spirituality. Your heart will grow cold. You're not listening anymore. I've been there. I've got that. Got the t-shirt. I'm good to go. Always needs to be an openness and growing in dimensions of this. So I've had different encounters through my life, very impactful encounters with the Spirit, and each one of them leaves a mark on my heart, transforms me and changes me. The more we fellowship with this Spirit, the more that it's in us, the more transformed we are. We become, number one, the divine person is in you. So we'll use terminology as we become born again, or if we've asked Jesus into our heart, Jesus in me, and that's fine, except that the reality is it's the Spirit that he leaves in you. Jesus' position is seated right hand of God. So it is not wrong and error to say that Jesus is in you, but it's through the Holy Spirit. So this is that identity. It's really fun to learn the persons of the Holy Spirit, of God, of the Godhead, and to fellowship in that. It's a mystery, as Colossians says. It's the mystery, the Father and the Son, you know. And so have fun with it. Experiment. Venture in. Learn. Seek. Like, it is not a just cut and dry theological fact. There is a person of the Godhead who is uniquely the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. They never stop being those three personalities and having those three different impacts and effects on your life. And so enjoy that. Get out of your head. Get into your heart. Get into this experience. Number two, the symptom of this thing is wisdom. You need wisdom. You ask for wisdom all the time. You look in Google for wisdom. You call a friend. Ask mom. She knows. Ask dad. Ask my wife. Ask my husband. Ask my pastor. Ask somebody. You know. But the Spirit is part of who the Spirit is. That was on Jesus, that's also accessible to the same Spirit, is wisdom. How would you like an upgrade in wisdom? Wisdom sets you apart, living in wisdom, walking in wisdom, and having access to wisdom. So this isn't something, I want to be careful that I'm not teaching this. What I want to say is, this is what comes with the Holy Spirit. So it's not about you deciding to have wisdom. It's very important, like the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit aren't learned. The fruit of the Spirit is what happens to you when the sun shines and the water's underneath and, you know, you're a real tree. You grow fruit. The fruit is the result of living in the sunshine, living in the light, tapping into the water, being connected to the source, being connected to the vine. I have a small grape arbor in my backyard. I do not have to go out every spring and teach that grape arbor how to do grapes, though I'd like to. Sometimes I would like to go, not yet, not yet, not yet. It's too early. Don't do that. Too late. Psst, you know, they're buzzed with frost. But I have to teach it how to have, because it just does that naturally. If the right things are around it, It is a grapevine. It produces grapes in the right conditions. You are a believer filled with the Spirit. You will produce the fruit of the Spirit, and you will have this. So it's an issue of pay attention to if you've received the Spirit, if you've received this baptism, pay attention. As a believer without experiencing this, I had a little of all of this. I believed in Jesus, but once I really started pursuing receiving the Spirit in the fullness, that was a whole different thing. Understanding. These are the questions that are on our lips all the time. Right? What's going on here? What the, is this? We need understanding. I did this and they did that. What the? What's that? We're plagued with these questions, but you don't ask the right place. You don't realize. You just make that, Father, what happened? What happened? And keep your connection with him for the understanding, because it's part of the package to have understanding. You should be pursued even if you're in prison, like, what's the word? What's the wisdom? What's going on? I know you perceive things. I know you're tapped in. Of counsel. Oh, wow. Everybody's looking for counsel. The world's looking for counsel. They're dying for the lack of counsel. We have good counsel. You have good counsel in you. Stop keeping it to yourself. We were talking, is Diane gone? That's good. We can talk about it. She's so private, like she, And we were talking about this, what it takes to activate her, And she's like, there are things I don't, do. But if someone pursues me, if something activates me, then I'm good. I'm like that too. I mean, you just get me like just the Rick. I'm like not impressive at all. Like there's nothing, nothing there. But if I get activated, then all of a sudden there's a lot more than even I realize. It gets stirred up. It starts to come out, and I realize, wow, this isn't me. That's why sometimes when I'm preaching, sometimes when I'm sharing and having a good day, I get so excited because I can stand over here and go, wow, it's good. Did you know this all the time? No, I just found out, Doing that Smeagol thing, talking to myself. Okay, pull up. Counsel, so coveted, needed so much in our culture, and the all of creation groans for us to have a good word, for us to have good counsel. People wondering, how do I raise my children? How do I live with this husband? How do I live with this wife? How do I deal with this situation? How do I deal with this at work? Counsel's in us, supernatural counsel. Tap into that. Of might. How many of you feeling the weakness? It's on our tongues all the time. Oh, man, I'm so tired. I was, I think I related this. I was watching a clip from Pat Robertson. And I had seen him a while back, and I'm like, oh, dude, you're old. Like, take a break. Like, he's looking crusty old. You know that crusty old thing? We're in our 60s. We're like, we're not even old yet. We used to think 30, over 30. That's our problem. Because when we were young, we were going 30 years old. You are out of sync with life. You're over. Your life's over. So now we got to live with ourselves. Once we pass 30, we go, oh, now what? I was always too young, too young, too young. Now I'm too old, too old. I went right past the good place. That thing where you drive past the road? You go, oh, that's where I was going to turn, Now I'm lost. Now I've gone beyond. So, oh, I just impressed myself and lost my train of thought. Pat Robertson, yes. Yes. So I just had that thought. It's a confession. I'm sorry, Lord. He's just been a phenomenal man all of his life and very unique and the 700 Club. And he ran for president at one time and, very intelligent and all of these things. And we were watching a clip just recently. And sometime between then and when I'm watching him now, the Lord visited him and gave him supernatural strength. He was ready to resign, retire. I mean, he was right there. Time for me to step aside, let my son take over the ministry. I'm good. Phyllis?
was 87 or 80.
He was 80 at the time.
He wanted to quit.
Yeah. And if I was, if he would have said that to me, and I'm like, yeah, probably. Good idea. You know, go ahead, do it. Do it. And we're watching him, and now he's in his late 80s. Oh my gosh. Like, he looks different. And he said, I had a suit. He just calmly saying, was it on Sid Roth? He's just calmly telling the story, like, nothing, no big deal. The Holy Spirit visited me and renewed my strength. That's part of the package. Spirit of might, to have energy for something, to have purpose, and so that we're, instead of dragging, there's an aggression that comes on us. That comes with the Spirit. Tap into that. That's part of the package. That is part of what this is. Of knowledge, truly understanding. We give ourselves to study, and that's good. Don't stop studying. Some of you, you know, whatever, if you're in school. I don't want to get in trouble from parents, etc. Study's important. Studying, research, that's good. But there's a supernatural knowledge that you just know things. Do you understand the supernatural knowledge, probably by the Spirit? There were inventions. Was it Washington Carver? Is that the correct name? He was a black man that invented all kinds of things, from peanut butter to plumbing. Pardon? George Washington Carver. And this spirit of creativity and invention was on him. I mean, I'm telling you, here's the truth. Here's the inside story. The inventions that our society, the technology that they're enjoying, even if it's corrupt, it came from above. We are not that good on ourselves. Do you understand? We need to give credit to where this stuff really comes from. That's whether it gets acknowledged or not, we're not that good on our own. And you see a person in this spirit of invention and this insight and this stuff is on them. So often, if you get to the real story, they're laying in bed. They were just doing some simple thing and boom, I just had an epiphany. You know, like, it just comes to them. They don't strive for it. Or they accidentally bump into it while they're doing research and they're looking for things. What is that? That's the Spirit of God wanting, desiring to be on us. And the fear of the Lord. In my commentary, you know, we still struggle with understanding that, comprehending that. And this, in verse 3, it says, his delight is in the fear of the Lord. So that's what marks this servant, Jesus. His delight is in the fear of the Lord. How about this? Let's invert that a little bit. Say, being in the fear of the Lord brings delight. So we typically associate fear with, I'm not feeling good about this. I'm scared. Honey, slow down. You're driving too fast. I'm scared, okay? She's not enjoying, Phyllis is riding with me and I'm driving too fast at night. Like, when I get tired, I start driving faster because I want to get home and I'm, you know, bad. This is probably not the time you should drive faster, but that's, you know. And she's like, will you slow down a little bit? Like, you know, you're making me nervous. And if I don't listen to that first, I'm like, slow down! Yeah. No, she does. She would never do that. I'm going to get punished later. But anyways, I'm safe while I'm up here. When church is over, I'm in trouble. Fear of the Lord is a place, living in the fear of the Lord is this place where he is who you're conscious of, and your mind is at ease because you know that you're not purposefully doing anything wrong or practicing something wrong. You'll live a lot longer if you live like that. That's part of the understanding of the fear of the Lord. When you finally begin to conduct your life in a way that you know it's you're good with the Lord, and if you're not sure, you ask, Lord, is this okay that I do this? Like, I have certain things that go, do I get involved in this or do I not get? Is this, do I go left? Do I go right? So I'm in interaction. If I'm not clear, I'm not talking about black and white things. I'm just talking about choices in life. The black and white things are like, yeah, obviously, sin, not sin. But to live in a way, could we live our lives instead of living on the edge of getting away with things, that we live in a place where we go, Lord, I'm living before you, and I want to live in the fear of the Lord, because I know if I want peace, if I want joy, if I want prosperity, if I want to do well, if I want my family to do well, if I want my children to live long and prosper, I will obey you and bring a blessing on my family and not a curse, on my household and not a curse. And so living in the fear of the Lord becomes a delight. His delight is in the fear of the Lord. You can get happy, you can get peaceful. We live with this as a reference point, and that's what we're giving ourselves to. Moiter says this, it suggests that all his capacity for delight spends itself on this great object, the fear of the Lord, the object being the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by the sight of his eyes. It goes on in this verse. His delight is in the fear of the Lord, in the second part of verse 3, and he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears. Wow. Do you know how much we're judging by the sight of our eyes? Do you know how much, I'm going to try to stay out of this, but we are all so conditioned. All that we see and all that's presented to us, that is on purpose. And we have many belief systems and many perceptions that are because something other than the Lord is impacting our understanding and what we believe. I got to stay out of that. But that's a reality. Listen to what I'm saying. Pay attention to that. How much that you think, how much do you think that what you believe and think about things and the culture and what the world we live in is really true, true in heaven, is really true? And this is the safeguard to that, that the Spirit of the Lord has great access and full, and we're in fullness with it, and we begin to see beyond what our eyes tell us, and we begin to perceive beyond what we hear. That's supernatural discernment. Hear one thing. Do you understand that when you get into the element of pathological liars, that this is not a criticism, this is just a reality. A pathological liar, a person that functions in that, when they lie, they don't have a tell. Because they so believe that what they're saying is the truth. And if you are receiving from that kind of person, and honestly, you don't know without discernment whether you are or you are not. They can be very influential people. I just want you to go home and scratch your head a little bit about that. This is the safeguard, having the Spirit of wisdom and understanding and might and discernment, having the Spirit be on us. This was the earmark of Jesus, and it's the same Spirit that can be on us and in us. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his loins, and faithfulness the belt of his waist. So he's girded with this. This is who he is. It's how he girds himself. He's girded with this righteousness, with this whole different thing. And we are as well. John the Baptist said of Jesus, I baptize in water unto repentance, but he'll come and baptize you with the Spirit and with fire. And we need that baptism. And forgive me for not talking about it more. Sometimes we're expecting people to be differently. Listen, the difference is, if the beginning is choosing Jesus, but the continuation of that is being filled with the Spirit, and not just once. You want to posture yourself to get filled more. This is the answer. You've got the questions. You have the needs. I hear them all the time. We hear them from each other all the time. So we have the problem. Here's the answer. We already got the problem. We don't have to go to the store and get that. We've got the problems. We have the needs. We have the lacks. He's the answer. The Spirit's the answer, and pursuing this. And so The elements of receiving the Spirit primarily, and wow, I hate to put it in a box because every time I do, it doesn't work out that way. I remember a young man years ago, we went to a Jesus festival, Phyllis and I took a young man with us, and there on the last night of that event, back at the campsite, it was one of those big Jesus festivals in Pennsylvania. However the conversation had led, we were just alone back at the campsite on a rainy, dark night. You know those campsite nights, and he wanted to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, and so in faith I prayed for him. Like nothing had to happen. I just prayed a prayer of faith. Faith isn't feelings. Faith isn't conjured up feelings and atmosphere, though. I love it when it's like that. I do. But anyways, we have to step out in things and go, I'm stepping out in faith. So don't confuse faith with feelings. Faith can be very like non-emotional in the sense that I know this is right. I believe this with all of my heart. And so I'm going to do that. And so we go home all the way from, we were pretty far out in Pennsylvania because it wasn't just a short, must have been out further wherever we were at. Came back and I was living on the farm with my parents in the summer house, and I had like a little summer house was kind of attached to the farmhouse, and that was where I'd gotten kicked to the curb because Rob and Kelly got married and they got the upstairs of the farmhouse, which was where I used to have a bedroom. And so you're out, you know, no, it was all good. We had this dairy farm, we all worked together. And it was the best of life. It was the worst of times. It was the best of times. You know, it was that kind of thing. What about milking cows can be great? Anyways. And so I had an upstairs very similar to what Brady and Maria moved out of before they got the ugly house. And, you know, where you can walk through, you can walk in the room if you stay in the center, you know, where the roof comes up the sides. It was one of those. And up these really steep steps. Brant broke his arm getting up in the middle of the night because he stayed there, him and Stephanie once, and tried to get down, broke his arm in the middle of the night. That was fun, taking him to the hospital the next morning. But anyways, it was one of those summer houses. And I had a single bed and a little bit of space, and so he came home with me. I'm like, dude, you're going to have to sleep on the floor, you know? And he was happy too because he stayed there because he had really gotten impacted by the conference and didn't want to go back to his old life at school and the stuff that he was into. It's like, okay, you can stay with us. Here we go, life on the farm. And I prayed for him the day before. So here we were, and that night, at the foot of my bed, after I fell asleep, I hear this noise at the foot of my bed. It's like, Rick, you hear this? Like, I got my prayer language. And in all of my ultimate wisdom, I had told him, and don't listen to this stuff about say banana backwards to get your prayer language. Guess what the Spirit told me to do? I'm like, I'm not really awake. I'm not good if I'm not awake. Like, and he's like, he told me to say banana backwards, you know, and the Spirit fell on me. I'm like, of course he did. Now, go to sleep, you know, go to bed. We'll talk about this in the morning. So it's this thing, I say all that to just say, sometimes you just pray in faith and just believe. But today, I don't want to go on anymore. It's getting late, but I want to invite you, whosoever will, to come up, music, maestro, put on some Let's Get Baptized in the Holy Spirit music. No pressure, Gary. The biggest thing you can do to get this is choose to want this. That's it. I want more of you. I want to posture myself. I want baptized. I want more of the baptism of the Spirit. I want another dose. I want another. Like I said, I've had quite a few encounters. Each one has left me a better person. It doesn't fit up here, so you have to kind of set aside your brain. But I am willing for whosoever is willing to come up and get prayer today, prayer of faith to receive more of the Spirit, to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. No dance, no song, just you want more, come up, and we'll pray, we'll go home, eat lunch. Amen. Love you all. I love what the Lord's doing in our midst. We are raising sons and daughters. Talked about that recently. We have endured our orphan beginnings, and now we have sons and daughters. We're raising sons and daughters.